Chapter 39. It was Foggy's favorite way to spend a Saturday afternoon, snacking on Halloween candy and perusing the weekend paper for interesting local news while Matt rested his head on his chest and listened to an audiobook through his headphones. He looked so relaxed like this, his glasses off and his eyes closed, a little smile curving his lips. It was a clear indication that he was enjoying what he was listening to. Knowing Matt, it was probably more of the same. Thurgood Marshall. Foggy smiled and dropped a soft kiss in his hair as he turned another page of the newspaper that sat in Matt's lap. His boyfriend hummed contentedly but didn't open his eyes. He only helped himself to another handful of M&Ms, tossing a red M&M into the air and catching it in his mouth, purely to show off in Foggy's opinion. He grinned and nudged Matt in the ribs, coaxing a soft chuckle from him and confirming his own suspicions. Matt was indeed showing off. Foggy couldn't say he minded. He and Matt only had a few weeks before exams. The break and the junk food binge was deserved and fleeting. They'd go back to studying soon enough. He frowned as he glanced at the article taking up half of page 4. Stark CEO charged with 13 offenses, including unlawful acquisition of weapons after alleged firebombing attack in Gomera. Famed billionaire and CEO of Stark Industries, Tony Stark, has been charged with more than a dozen weapon offenses after an alleged attack by Mr. Stark on Gomera on Tuesday, 5:07 p.m. local time. Military officials took the 39-year-old into custody early Friday morning after he allegedly barricaded himself inside his Malibu mansion for a number of hours. A public safety zone was established around Mr. Stark's Malibu Point estate while military personnel negotiated with the billionaire, who had illegally seized several crates of black market weapons initially designed and manufactured by Stark Industries. Gomera is not the first village to be targeted by Mr. Stark in his one-man campaign against the illegal weapons trade. The weapons had allegedly been destroyed before military officers entered the mansion to apprehend Mr. Stark, who surrendered himself peacefully after a standoff of more than 15 hours. Mr. Stark has since been released on home detention and is due to appear in court to answer the charges against him on Tuesday. Mr. Stark's personal assistant was approached for comment, but declined all requests for interviews. Foggy came to the end of the article, not knowing what to think of it all. He shook his head and frowned, setting the paper aside for a moment. Then, pulling it back towards himself, he examined the picture of Tony Stark in his red and gold Iron Man armor. "Hey, have you seen this?" he muttered, shoving the paper at Matt, who made a noise of protest, his eyelids fluttering. "Are you kidding?" Matt retorted as he removed his headphones. "Right, sorry," Foggy replied, shaking his head. "There's this Iron Man guy flying around taking on arms dealers. He's tackling the illegal weapons trade single-handedly. It's interesting." "Yeah, I suppose. And that's more of a symptom of a deeper issue," Matt said slowly and seriously, sitting up. Foggy watched him closely, wondering at the meaning behind his words. Matt's expression was shuttered and closed off. His thoughts were far away and distant in a way they hadn't been in a while now. That was worrying. Deeply worrying. He reached for him instinctively, not liking what he considered danger signs when it came to Matt. "What are you talking about, Matt?" he asked, struggling to keep his voice even. "Well, I mean, how many people have been tempted to do what this guy does? How many people have been so let down, abandoned by the justice system, that they feel they need to make their own justice?" Matt said quietly, and Foggy stopped breathing for a moment. "Do you feel that way?" he finally asked, unable to keep a slight quaver out of his tone. Matt bit his lip, seeming to struggle with himself for several minutes before he was able to put his thoughts into words. Foggy waited him out, letting the newspaper slip to the floor as he watched Matt and wondered how it was that he hadn't realized his boyfriend was pondering the lawless vigilante path himself, weighing up the risk. "Foggy, my dad was murdered, and the only thing the police did was call it in and hand me off to social services," Matt said, so bitterly that Foggy's heart immediately sank. "They knew it was a mob hit, and yet Sweeney lived free for years, comfortably, in an estate house that was, it was a mansion. Meanwhile, my dad was dead in the gutter, and I was in an orphanage, alone, and there was no justice. I get where this guy's coming from. That's all I'm saying. How many people have to get hurt before someone does something about it? Foggy closed his eyes against the crushing wave of emotions that swept over him. It was impossible to argue with Matt when it came to Jack Murdoch and the more traumatic aspects of his childhood. People had so obviously and so badly failed Matt that he wasn't entirely surprised to hear those words from him. But he was worried about where those words lead, to actions that Matt would never be able to take back. Matt, you know law enforcement at any level, local or federal, can't move without evidence. There's a process, Foggy said, in a voice of forced calm. Well, maybe that process needs an overhaul. Your Iron Man seems to agree, Matt pointed out, as Foggy suppressed a sigh and fought for control of his emotions, knowing it would be a mistake to argue with Matt about this, especially since nothing had happened yet. Yeah, Foggy murmured distractedly, frowning and casting around for a subject change. So, dinner? He made the suggestion tentatively, not feeling even remotely hungry himself after an afternoon of snacking on junk. He couldn't help but feel that the easy, relaxed domesticity he enjoyed for so many weeks with Matt was under threat now. He wished he'd never talked to Matt about the article, or even better, that Matt had never heard of Sweeney or Stick. I think I might take a walk, Matt decided, standing up abruptly. I'll be back later. Be safe, Foggy said, instead of the words he wanted to say. Please don't go. Always, Matt promised, setting his headphones on the coffee table and leaning down to press a kiss to Foggy's lips. The kiss was cold, chaste and quick, like Matt's heart wasn't really in it. His mind was clearly elsewhere, and Foggy watched him pull on his wool cashmere topcoat with a sinking feeling. Matt left the dorm not long after, and Foggy threw away the newspaper as if that would change anything. He had leftover cronuts and strong coffee for dinner, but no amount of deep-fried pastry could ease the sick, twisted feeling in his gut that came from knowing that Matt empathized with Iron Man's one-man war, and one day, he might mount a solo war of his own, and nothing Foggy said would change his mind. End chapter 39.